Seat of Our Pants Players, Head Writer's Office. We make more bon mots before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
Dude, seriously?
I am an extrovert doing an introverted job. I'm going to go a little nutsy from time to time.
Yeah, that ship sailed a while ago. Look, I got the script for this month, and I have a question.
Sure, Dana, shoot.
What the heck is this?
Oh, that's right. You weren't in the last episode. Well, basically, I wanted to do a crossover with all our running shows, so I put together this thin plot about Sam Sterling and Sally Simpson traveling through time and space, and they just happen to wind up inside the realities of the other shows that we do.
No, I mean, what is this?
What is what?
This! The thing we're doing now. The words I'm reading off of a script at the exact moment. It's not part of any of the shows.
Oh, this! Well, this is a quick recap for the people who missed the first episode.
Wow, dude. That is...
meta?
I was thinking really dumb. But whatever. Where did we leave Sally and Sam?
Ah, we left them right about here.
Alert. Unauthorized presence on the bridge.
Oh my, this is certainly not where I expected to be.
Alert. Alert.
Oh, dear. Please, I mean you no harm. I'm a news reporter traveling through time just trying to bring interesting features to my listeners.
All right. Who are you? And what are you doing here?
I'm a news reporter traveling through time just trying to bring interesting features to my listeners. My name is Sally Simpson.
Dora, keep her covered. Hitomi, we have a situation. Drop whatever you're doing and get up to the bridge.
Drop what I'm doing?
If it's a bomb, don't literally drop it. But otherwise, get up here.
On my way.
Goodness gracious, am I in a spaceship? I really hadn't expected this. I mean, space loses some of its majesty when one has been taken there by a variety of villains intent on doing one harm. Still, it's nice to see such incredible progress has been made by the people of Earth.
Well, I'm glad you're a fan of my ship.
Your ship?
Captain Astrid, I'm in command of the Alliance ship Forsvar. And if you are who you say you are, your timing is pretty awful. We're in hostile territory, and I can't guarantee your safety.
Captain, are you sure we should even be talking to her? This is an intruder on the bridge.
That's an excellent point, Dora. Remind me of our protocol regarding a suspected time traveler on the bridge.
You believe her, Captain?
I do. But I don't know exactly why. That's why I use the term suspected.
I promise you it's true. I'm guessing I'm in my future. What year is it?
Captain, I don't think we're supposed to answer that.
We're not supposed to tell someone what year it is?
I think if we're dealing with a time traveler, we're not supposed to interact at all. No one's sure what could happen to the timeline and all that.
Well, that's something I don't hear every day. We actually have protocols for dealing with a time traveler?
More like guidelines. Unofficial guidelines. They may have been handwritten in the back of my manual, if I'm remembering correctly.
Well, if you're not going to talk to me, this is going to be horrible radio.
Tommy, is this even possible?
How should I know? I'm an engineer, not a theoretical physicist.
You're an engineer with a hobby of theoretical physics. Now, what do you think?
It's not impossible.
That is not a word.
Because time travel isn't a thing. I mean, it is, and it isn't. We perceive everything as moving in one direction through time, and for most of the universe, that works. But when you get to the extremes, like singularities, tesseracts, or the Big Bang, things get weird. Depending on the equations, the direction of time becomes negotiable.
So it's possible.
I mean, it happened. So yes.
It's possible for particles, photons, quarks, that sort of thing. You can't apply the same thing to a whole human being. Getting the macroscopic universe into the state where time travel is possible means recreating the kind of extreme conditions where any living being would be 30 different kinds of dead.
Do you always spend your time explaining things like this?
Kind of my cross to bear. Anyway, Captain, this is astronomically unlikely. I mean, maybe shielding someone from those conditions would be technically possible if you had unlimited resources, but who would be crazy enough to test that to the point you could actually use it?
Well, to be fair, the inventor of the time machine is a level 17 psychopath. Or was, before she allegedly reformed.
You don't measure psychosis like that.
That was the part of the sentence you took issue with? Simpson, was it?
Sally Simpson, reporter for KGDY, Metrodelphia's number one news station.
All right, then. She's either lying or insane.
I beg your pardon?
Your clothing suggests what? Early 21st century? But no one alive back then could have built a time machine. Also, no one did build a time machine. Further also, Metrodelphia isn't a place.
Captain?
Dora, do you know when you say, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, and I reach levels of paranoia that an officer of a ship should not ever experience?
I know that now.
So you were saying?
Dora! I think I know what's going on here. Well, sort of. Ma'am, do you by any chance have a boyfriend who wears a cape?
Oh, maybe I'm not so far in the future as I thought I might be.
Computer, can you access cultural archives on Captain Goody?
Captain Goody is a fictional character made popular in the so-called comic books of the mid to late 20th century. He was an early example of the superhero genre, so named because the protagonist displayed abilities beyond those of normal humans, sometimes to exaggerated or even ludicrous extent. The character of Captain Goody possessed nearly limitless physical strength and stamina, and was often depicted lifting objects weighing multiple metric tons. In addition, he could fly in the air or in outer space with no technological assistance. Moreover...
Thank you. So, a superhero?
Yes, Captain. They made some moving pictures of him, and I'm sort of a buff for the old cinema shows.
Are you implying that my boyfriend is made up? That's insulting. What do you think I am, a high school wallflower who insists she has a boyfriend in Canada?
All right, so if you are a time traveler, you evidently don't know what happened to Canada. Hitomi, is any of this...
Nope. 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 Can nope be a verb? Because I am noping this. A character from a comic book come to life? That isn't a thing.
What is a comic book, by the way?
Yeah, are we near a singularity or something? Because you said that could make things weird.
Holy moly. I think I need to nope harder.
Looks like that's my ride. I don't think I have a lot to share with my listeners. Captain, considering you'll all develop amnesia after I leave, is there any deep secret you'd like to share with centuries past?
I sometimes feel there's another person living in my brain.
No idea what that's like. Nice to meet you all.
Lovecraft's Detective Agency, if you're sane enough to ask, you probably don't need our help. I'm with a client at the moment. Is this an emergency? I see. Well, mysterious music coming from nowhere might require my services under the right circumstances, but it's not usually time-sensitive. Can you call me back in about an hour? I see. So, music is not the right word, exactly. Can you describe it any more thoroughly? So, ch-ch-ch-ch, followed by ah-ah-ah-ah, then. Are you by any chance in a forested area? I see. Well, this is outside my normal range of accepted clients. I'm not going to charge you for this consultation, but as a courtesy, I will make the following suggestions. Leave the area immediately. Make sure you're wearing comfortable running shoes, and if anyone in your group is wearing clothing you would describe as diaphanous or seems particularly fixated on engaging in hanky-panky, say your goodbyes now and leave them behind. Good luck!
You are the only man alive who can use the words diaphanous and hanky-panky in the same sentence.
Well, if it helps, there aren't a lot of dead men who could do that either. Now, Mr.
Adamson. Abel Adamson. This is the fourth time you've asked. Today.
To save us both irritation, I'll try to remember to simply call you Sir. In any case, I apologize for the interruption. Remind me what you were just saying.
You just told me you destroyed the artifact, and I asked you if you were sure. I tried to destroy it myself a few times. It was not successful.
I suppose that would seem like a fair question from your point of view.
It doesn't seem that way to you.
Perhaps if I paraphrase the question. Am I sure that the unknowable artifact of unknown origin and application is destroyed when it's impossible to know what it was even made of? Given that, the question becomes considerably less fair.
That may be so, but I am paying you to perform a service. I would like some form of assurance that the service is complete.
I am as sure as it is possible to be that the artifact was destroyed. However, on the off chance that I am wrong, I took the added precaution of banishing the remains of the object from this plane of existence. I did that in several different piles by way of scattering the ashes, if you will. Beyond your receipt, all evidence that it ever existed in the first place has been eliminated. Now, speaking of receipts, I do advise you to keep that.
And why is that?
Because if I am wrong about literally everything and the artifact should return, all you'll need to do is show me that receipt. As stated in the terms written thereon, I will be happy to come and attempt the task again, at no charge, of course.
I see portals all the time. That one does not look right.
Is that...
I'm above 50% certain that it isn't related to your artifact. Nevertheless, I strongly suggest that you run. In fact, I think I'll have to insist that...
Now that is a man who can make it through to the end of a horror movie.
Oh, hello. Nice to meet you. I'm Sam Sterling, reporter for KGDY.
Holy mother of goat spawn.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Sterling. My name is Mordecai Lovecraft, and this is my associate, Gladys.
Morty?
You're a reporter, you say?
Oh, yes. You'll have to forgive my entrance. I've been sent by my station through these portals which transport me through time and space. I'm supposed to get interviews with interesting people.
Morty.
I see. Well, I don't wish to toot my own horn, but I am a private detective who deals exclusively with unknowable and unspeakable horrors. Do I fit your criteria?
Oh, that sounds fascinating. Right up until the unspeakable part. That might make this interview a bit challenging, but I'm game if you are.
Morty!
Just a moment, Mr. Sterling. Yes, Gladys?
Look at this guy's aura?
Oh, I certainly have, my dear.
It's hideous.
Gladys, relax.
Kill it. Kill it with fire.
First, we're not going to do that. Second, that wouldn't work even a tiny little bit.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Have I done something to offend you?
Not in the least. This is more of an aesthetics issue than anything else. Rather like a fan of death metal listening to pastoral symphonies. Most people would consider your aura to be resplendent. However, for Gladys and I, it is somewhat concerning.
Oh, well, how so?
Because you clearly have enough power to destroy whole worlds without appreciably taxing yourself.
Goodness me, you must be mistaken there. I'm just a mild-mannered reporter.
It's as though every benevolent entity across a multitude of dimensions imbued you with its power and told you to do your best.
Oh, dear. Now you sound like you're telling the origin story of a superhero. Anyway, let's talk about you. How exactly do you get insurance for a business dealing with unknowable and unspeakable horrors?
That's your first question.
Well, yes.
I've never had a reporter ask that question before. You're quite talented at this. In any case, the secret is to find an insurance agent who doesn't believe in you at all. They then fall into the trap of writing the policy quite openly in the belief that they will never, ever be forced to pay. Then you make sure that policy is for no less than a 20-year period.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound nice at all.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Would you hold this, please?
Certainly. Ooh, sorry, I guess I don't know my own strength.
Gladys, my dear, if you were trying to banish or harm our guest, I think you know we don't have anything in the office which could even come close to affecting him. If, on the other hand, you were trying to get rid of some of the more dangerous artifacts in our inventory which we otherwise wouldn't be able to eliminate, then that's quite a clever idea, come to think of it. Go find some more things to try that with.
I'm not sure I understand what just happened.
Well, the objects are unknowable, so that's to be expected. In layman's terms, imagine holding a piece of smoked glass up to a light in order to dim it. Now, imagine what would happen if the source of light was the surface of the sun, and the glass was about 6 inches away.
Catch.
Whoopsie.
Try this one.
So sorry.
Maybe this one?
Goodness, I seem to be breaking quite a bit of your stuff. I do apologize.
You're doing me a service, I assure you.
Okay, I admit it. This is sort of fun.
That's the spirit. Mr. Sterling, would you care for some coffee? I take mine black. Gladys usually lets some black licorice and lemon drops dissolve in hers. But we do have more conventional options available, if you prefer.
Oh, none for me, thanks. I generally only drink decaf.
And now I am back to creeped out. Ooh, pretty.
So how did you come to be here, Mr. Sterling?
I'm afraid I don't quite understand the technical aspect of it. Professor Whizboombang developed a machine to make portals into time, but after our first hop into 1877, two portals opened up instead of one. My friend Sally jumped into the first one, I took the other. That's when I wound up here.
Wait, can we go back to that name? Professor Whizboombang?
I would actually like to take a different step back. 1877?
Yes, the Dakota Territory.
Well, I confess this is a tad embarrassing. It appears you might be here as a result of me. I've recently banished an item of considerable power from this plane of existence, and I did use a temporal component set to 1877. I suppose it might have intersected with your time portal. No worries, though. As long as you keep going through, the two portals should rejoin eventually.
Oh, sorry, Morty. Didn't know you had a case.
Just finishing up here. I imagine his portal is only moments away.
Uh-huh. So, one of your extra-dimensional friends?
Technically, more of an alternate reality. It's a fine distinction, but the sort of thing it's helpful for a man in my profession to know.
Whatever you say, Morty. This was what passed for normal in Mordecai Lovecraft's office. A client who's about to be sucked into a portal? Must be a Tuesday. A client with tentacles for a mustache? Not even cause to blink. Generally, if you see Morty looking concerned, and you're not already running, you may as well just give up. And if his assistant Gladys looks concerned, well, let's just say I never visit the office without a cyanide capsule, just to be safe. I'd met Lovecraft when he first got his detective license, and I was renewing my certification. Normally, two private eyes don't necessarily get along so good, but Morty deals only with unknowable and unspeakable horrors. Since I only work on knowable and speakable things, horrors or otherwise, we don't compete with each other. In fact, when faced with the weirdest case I ever turned down, the case of the giant rat of Sumatra, I sent the prospective client to Morty and received a decent finder's fee in return. Morty's good people, all things being subjective. And believe you me, right now, I needed his help.
What just happened?
You get used to it.
I'd offered to try to get rid of that little foible, but it hardly seems worth the effort. Mr. Sterling, this is...
Jack McCoy, Private Eye. Nice to meet you. Yow! Firm grip you got there, Pally.
Oh, my fault, sorry.
That's okay. I have another hand just like it. Anyway, I'm just here to see if Morty would like a crack at a job that's a bit outside of my area of expertise.
Oh, you can handle it. You're just chicken.
Can't believe she followed me all the way here. Ethel, you can threaten to evict me all you want, but I am not setting foot in a house that's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
Big baby!
I'll make you a deal, Ethel. You come in here and say that to my face, and I'll be happy to take the case.
I am not setting foot in that crazy place again.
Last time she was here, her arms and legs switched places for about 10 minutes. I personally considered it an improvement.
Well, we can certainly discuss it once my guest takes his leave. It's been both interesting and terrifying to meet you, Mr. Sterling.
Before you go, would you mind holding this box for just a second? Wow. When you do a bunch at once, they implode.
Well, I should be going now. It's been... I should be going now. Take care, everyone.
And that, dear children, was the tale of how some children played at slaughtering. Now, wasn't that the most interesting story you've heard? Children?
I would like to go home now.
Oh, Pet, don't you want to stay here? We've got some lovely apples in a bowl over there. Or if you prefer, you can have some gold coins. Which one would you like to choose?
You don't understand. I want to go home now because you're really weird and really creepy.
Well, that's a little rude, don't you think?
Did you listen to that story you just told? That was rude.
Well, little one, I'm terribly sorry, but that's just not possible. You see, I...
Sally! Oh, goodness, I'm glad you're all right.
Oh, hello, Sam.
Hello? What precisely is this, may I ask?
Sally Simpson, roving reporter for Radio KGDY. I've been sent on a journey through time and space to track down new and interesting stories using my keen reporter senses. Oh, and this is Sam. He's here, too.
Oh. Reporters. Lovely.
Okay. Listen up, you two, because have I got some stories for you.
Oh, little one, I don't think they're going...
This crazy woman has been reading us scary stories and teaching us to do bad things, and she gives us punch with red number 5 in us, and my mommy says that's not good for you.
Oh, aren't they dear? These sweet little children and the little stories they decide to tell. Look, my name is Ariella Strychnine, and I...
And she makes us call her Lady Ariel, but I don't think she has any claim to that peerage.
I'm sorry to interrupt, ma'am, but Sally, what are your keen reporter senses telling you about this woman?
That she's so evil it's not even funny?
Pretty much what I was thinking.
Police, nobody move.
Why, officer, what on earth seems to be the trouble?
What's the trouble? Well, for the moment, you're under arrest for running an illegal daycare, but we'll be doing some investigation, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more charges we'll be able to file.
Oh, this is great. You better stop and pick up some lemon tea, because I got so much to say, I'm gonna get a sore throat.
Oh, dearie, You do know the expression, snitches get stitches, don't you?
Do you know the expression, make me feel strife, get 15 to life?
Why, you little!
That's enough of that. You have the right to remain silent.
Oh, I don't think so.
Lady Ariella, would you care to tell our listeners what drove you to this strange, wicked lifestyle? Who hurt you?
Oh, trust me. I do all the hurting. Ever since my brother ate the gingerbread house I spent a week working on for a competition. I really wanted to treat him like Hansel, but the oven just wasn't big enough.
Do you see why I never wanted to eat her cookies?
All right, that's enough. Let's go, Princess.
Oh, that's fine. Because trust me, I'll be getting out. And I'll see you next time in the playroom.
Well, that was unpleasant.
Oh, well, I suppose it's time to hop into the next portal, Sam. I hope there's not too much more. I have a date with my boyfriend when I get back.
Don't you mean if we get back?
Oh, Sam, you worry too much. What could possibly go wrong?
You've been listening to From Soup to Nuts, Part 2. Produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Sally Simpson and Ethel were Jill Wenzel. The computer and Gladys were Liz Music. Dora was Dana Bonner Andreessen. Captain Astrid was Andy Gastingi. Hitomi was Rebecca Scheimer. Sam Sterling was Dan Wenzel. Mordecai Lovecraft was Andrew Dell. Abel Adamson and the cop were Aaron Manka-White. Jack McCoy was Rick Tennant. Lady Ariella was Brianna Kubi. And the precocious child was Adam Gastingi. Music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Fast Talkin' by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.